There are so many mysteries that intertwine as we celebrate this mystery. The mystery of the Assumption of Mary into heaven. You just heard, for those of you who were here, the papal declaration of the Pope, infallible, about the presence of Mary in heaven right now. I think that the key is a personal love for Mary. Then this all opens up. If we go at it from the outside, who is Mary, what has she done, should we talk about Mary to Protestants and so on, you don't get it. You understand, during the council, there was this proposal, we have to have a dogmatic statement on Mary. And this was wrestled back and forth. This is an ecumenical council trying to begin to repair the incredible shattering of the church by human weakness and malice. And we're going to make obstacles. Cardinal Sunens came to me. I was helping him, counseling him during the council. And he said to me, what do you think? The proposal had already been made that Mary and all the teaching on Mary be included within the church, within the teaching of the church, in the document Lumen Gentium. The more I read, even this morning, reading blessing of that decision. So I said to him, Cardinal, this is what I think. We cannot lie to the Protestants and expect to build unity, because we'll build it on a lie. We honor Mary. We love Mary. We recognize her as the Queen of Heaven, having an influence in our lives. And we have to tell them that. Otherwise, any union we have with them will be based on a lie. It's not a union at all. Now, it has to be said with love and patience, but it can't be watered down. Because then, there's no ecumenism. There's just human compromise, based on human ideas, and human energy that's not ecumenism. Well, I'm sure I wasn't the only one who thought that way. And that's why, you know, then finally it's included. And though we only have a few minutes, I'm going to try to show you why. What's going on here? The key is church. I have upstairs in my collection a collection of all the sayings, the teachings of the Father on the book of Revelation, or on Matthew or whatever. The series is still being put out. And as I looked quickly this morning at what they said on chapter 11 and 12, where we are right now in the book of Revelation, they're all talking about the church. The church. This woman, clothed with the sun, a moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was with child and wailed aloud in pain as she labored to give birth. They all start talking about the church. And as they talk about the church, they talk about Mary. And I think that if we will pray, we will have a deep healing in our own spirit. When we talk about Mary, we're talking about that person in whom the whole mystery of the church coalesces. And in the power of what God has done for her, she is the one who has influence, not just prayer, example, influence on the church. And that council was very careful to use the word influxus, influence. Now, how do we get to learn that? Well, I really think it's only prayer. The first thing that has to go is our incredible individualism, our self-centeredness, our, you know, my rights, my rights, my rights, my rights, which invades all of us. It's not just all those poor people out there thinking about their rights. My friends, it's us. So that we see what church is. Weep over its divisions. Nobody weeps more over them more than Mary. You see, she is the one in whom we see church. And as we say throughout this liturgy, that's our hope. There is Mary, a young woman from Nazareth, absolutely glorious, radiant, her physical constitution transformed by the life of God forever. You see that? You see yourself. That's what we're called to. That's the church. Glorious forever. We have a little hiccup here for a couple of million years before it's over, and then we have eternity with God. That's the church. The exemplar, the most perfect church-ness there is, the most saved person in the universe. Saved from the moment of her conception. The most saved person in the universe. The one who more than anyone else can experience the power of the blood of her Son, which she saw shed herself as she stood there suffering with him. The most blessed. That's exciting when you love Mary. Aren't you glad? That she's so glorious and everybody loves her. Couldn't have happened to a nicer person. This glory, and that's the key, my friends, to understanding church, to understanding blessed are they who mourn over the mess we're in. But to see it in this light, to understand Father Hugh Rahner, Karl Rahner's brother, actually, wrote a book called Mary and the Church. It's a tiny little book. And it's full of all this, you know, the teachings of the fathers of the church. And sometimes they say things in their depth of understanding. They say like, Mary, that is the church. We don't think like that. The church for us is this massive organization. I don't know what it is for us. Is it the living, breathing, loving, suffering, saving body of Christ? And where are we going? Look up today. Take time to pray. Look. Mary, that's the church. That's where we're going. You see, once we get into the church, we're into our abstractions, we think. No. There's nothing more concrete than the church. This one reality, the body of Christ. We've made a mess of it. That's the truth. But the way back is the way of truth. Not the way of compromise. The way of truth. The way of truth is the way of self-sacrificing love. That's the way of truth. No other way. When the Orthodox bishop of Antioch, when all the ecumenical stuff was going on in the council, they said, are you going to come back to Rome? He said, come back to Rome. Does that mean I sign a paper and the Pope signs a paper and now we're all happy? No. We have to work and suffer and die to self and then we'll be one. And so we have this gift, but it's not without suffering. Another sign appeared in the sky. A huge red dragon. And all this imagery, as you know, comes in the book of Daniel and the book of Ezekiel. And he stood before the woman about to give birth to devour her child. Which child? Christ. The Christ. Jesus. And his body. The church. To devour her child when she gave birth. She's still giving birth. Doesn't Paul say that? Oh, you Galatians, don't you understand? I'm still in the pangs of childbirth until Christ be formed in you, because he is filling out and living out the church's vocation embodied in Mary. She gave birth to a son, a male child, destined to rule all the nations with an iron rod. That's the Messiah from Psalm 2, right? Her child was caught up to God. That's the resurrection. And to his throne. The woman herself fled into the desert where she had a place prepared by God. And then, I don't know why they skipped it, but he went after her and he's still waging war on all those who are faithful to Jesus. And so we, like Mary, are in the pains of childbirth, giving birth to the Christ, making the Christ present among us. What a privilege. What a privilege. That's an apostolic function, to bring forth Christ in the world. And that's why we're called Mother of God. Because we want to bring forth Christ in the world. Well, folks, a lot of you women here have had children. You know what that takes. You don't whistle Dixie while you're doing this. But this is the way. Isn't this exciting? And there is Mary, just dying to help us out. Protect us. You know, protect us from this dragon. Protect this poor world from this dragon. She's been given the authority to do that. Because she is the church.